The following is an at-will presentation.
Tell me your number one secret.
I once fed one of your dogs some gum that fell on the floor.
Hey everyone, it's Ben. In the previous episode of The Secret Room, I talked to Karen. She told us how her husband Creed got on the sex offender registry, the overwhelming impact it's had on their lives, and why his prison term and placement on the sex offender registry is punishment that far exceeds the weight of the crime. And it exceeds it by a long shot. But the story would not have been complete without hearing from Karen's husband too. So Creed agreed to talk to me this time, and I'm glad he did. If you haven't heard Karen's interview, please rewind your pod player one episode and listen to episode 43, Married to a Sex Offender, first. You need the background to take in today's story. I'm Ben Hamm, and you're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells.
Okay, can you say something?
Hello.
Okay, good. Okay, he's ready to go, and I'm going to leave so that he can talk.
So after adjusting Creed's mic, Karen exits the secret room, and Creed's about ready to go.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are you there? Can you hear me, Creed?
I can. Nice to meet you, Ben.
Nice to meet you as well. All right, so I just want to make sure the recorder's...
Hey, Creed.
Right.
Thanks so much for joining me.
No problem.
Karen told me last time that before you were sentenced, you spoke with your ex-girlfriend. What did she say?
A lot of, like, her feeling guilty and apologetic and not wanting this to happen and wanting me to not go to prison. And, you know, of course she, you know, told me she loved me and that she would write to me and all that stuff while I was in prison, and which of course would have been against the law for her to talk to me.
So she wasn't gunning for this. It was her stepfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have had a whole range of emotions when you received your sentence. Well, what did it feel like?
Horrible. I was also in a state of shock because I never actually thought I would end up going to prison. It just seemed obscene and just silly, to be honest. To this day, it all seems very silly. I didn't think it would happen. If I have 5 or 10 minutes to talk to somebody about my crime, they're usually surprised I even went to the penitentiary for it. You know, and that's not to like downplay, you know, what I did was wrong. That doesn't mean I think I should have gone to the penitentiary for it.
What was it like on your first day of prison?
In this state, we go to quarantine first before you get sent to the prison that you're going to go to. And quarantine is just like any movie you've ever seen about prison. You're in a giant warehouse of bars and people screaming, yelling, hazing, all that stuff that you see in movies like Shawshank Redemption. It looks exactly like that. And it was very scary. I won't lie. I was very scared that first day and that first night. It was loud. It was really hot because I went to prison in August, I think. And it was just really hot, sweaty, loud, and scared too. The judge, I was one of his first cases that he resided over, sent me to the penitentiary anyway. He, you know, talked to me during my sentence and, you know, said that he wished he didn't have to send me to prison, but his hands were tied. So I ended up going, and I just remember them, you know, putting the handcuffs on me, turning me around, and my whole family and a lot of my friends were in the courtroom that day. It was an open court proceeding, so it was packed. And I just remember them all waving goodbye to me and, you know, saying that they loved me, and they let me out.
Wow.
Very surreal.
Yeah. Did it take long to settle into prison life?
It took me a little while, sure. I'd say like the first 6 months was pretty hard. I didn't sleep very much. And then after that, I kind of just got used to it.
You hear that sex offenders can be outcasts in prison and can be subject to some pretty harsh treatment by other inmates. Did you have any trouble like that?
At first, I did. My first bunkie, he had a problem with it. He was a bigger dude, older, had been in prison for a long time, and like a physically imposing person. He threatened to slit my throat in my sleep, actually.
Damn.
He woke me up in the middle of the night. He kicked my bunk, woke me up, and he handed me a little note. And I read the note and basically said, if you don't give me X amount of money, I'm going to slit your throat while you're sleeping. That was, I think, my third day there. Until finally, you know, one day, him and I just came to an understanding. We got a fight and we're like, this is not happening anymore. He ended up leaving me alone.
You had to show him.
Yeah, basically.
Karen told me the touching story of your first meeting after you were released was so nice.
Yeah.
Did you know right then that you guys would be together?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've loved her for a really long time.
And of course, Creed, you bear the brunt of this issue.
Yeah.
You've served prison time and
Yeah. You're
on the sex offender registry, which impacts your ability to, you know, maneuver around society in a number of ways. But what are your thoughts about how this has impacted Karen?
Well, it's unfortunate that it's had to have an impact on her at all, because she didn't commit the crime. But as a result of being married to me, she has had to de facto serve time with me. Even though I'm not in the penitentiary anymore, I'm still serving time because I was on parole, and then I have to, you know, still be on the sex offender registry. So you're basically on supervision for, you know, dozens of years. It's been really hard on her. When I was on parole, I wasn't allowed to be around my nephew, which is her nephew, because I wasn't allowed to be around children. My nephew is, I love him to death, and so does she. So it was very hard. I remember more than once just seeing her breaking down, crying because we couldn't go to a family function together. She'd have to leave me at home and go without me. And it's had an effect on her professionally. It's had an effect on her the way she sees the judicial system.
Creed, what do you think the label sex offender should mean? Because what I'm getting from this interview is that some reform is needed.
It's definitely a too wide-sweeping category. I think it should probably mean, I don't know. I really don't. It's not an easy question to answer, and I'm just going to leave it at I don't know, because the term doesn't work the way it is, but we have to have something. I've wanted to talk about it for a long time. You know, I have PTSD from it really bad. And then just living in society as a sex offender is horrible. I mean, the label is horrible. That's the thing that people should hear from this. There needs to be a better system. I don't know what it is, but the sex offender registry is a bad system.
Does the label that you've been given haunt you every single day?
Man, I think about prison every day.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I think about being a sex offender or every day, but I think about being a felon every day. I work like 70 hours a week to make my own business work. And I wish every day that I could have a job working for somebody else, getting paid, you know, minimum wage, just so I knew how much money I was going to make every week. But I can't do that because nobody will give me a job. Nobody. I've tried, believe me.
What do you think about Karen telling your story in The Secret Room?
I have listened to The Secret Room, you know, with her and enjoyed it. I was nervous about it and kind of skeptical. It's scary on some level, even though it's anonymous. It's scary just to think about my own experiences. Even though it's like anonymous, it's still, I'm being very like candid with you. And it's scary for me just to be this open with a stranger, I guess.
Do you carry any anger for your ex-girlfriend's stepfather?
I don't know, man. Like, I did for a long time. I think I was more angry at the judge that sentenced me than him. I mean, I know people who have daughters and family members, and, you know, I guess I can put myself in his shoes and understand why he did what he did. Yeah, he wanted me to be locked up, but I don't think he understood the impact that it would have on my life and my family's life and my friends' lives and all the way down the road, my wife's life, if we ever had kids, my kids' lives. It's going to affect, you know, generations of people. So I guess I don't really hold it against him anymore. I was mad for a long time, but it's just not healthy to carry that stuff with me. I got enough problems, you know. When I first got out, I had a really hard time with people. I'm trying to just kind of let that hate go, I guess, and be happy, you know. I wouldn't say it's all been negative. I wouldn't trade my time in prison for anything. I wouldn't go back and change it.
There are a lot of silver linings in this story. You know, your beautiful, exceptional love story. Karen's career, which was inspired by all of this. And of course, the support and love of family and the friends that do know. And you know, some people want to be self-employed.
Yeah,
and maybe, some people maybe do. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. You're your own boss.
I am.
So, I know it's probably something you'd, you know, you'd definitely do over.
Yeah.
But maybe there are some bright spots, which of course, you know, you don't need me to tell you. I know you know that.
Thank you. It's still helpful to hear it.
Thank you, Creed.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And so Creed and Karen live their lives together with a love forged by fate, her career inspired by the misfortune that befell her husband. And while they live happily together, there is a lifelong personal toll that this affair has taken on them. Karen didn't ask me to pull the interview, but I suspected she was close at times while I've been working on it. She texted me later, "I'm nervous about the episode airing because I fear people will find out and it will negatively impact my job or housing." But at the end of the day, Karen and Creed wanted their story out there to help others. This week for pictures, Creed shared a photo of the quarantine cell block he described, where he went immediately after sentencing. You can see it right now at facebook.com/secretroompod. Thanks for sharing that, Creed. And in spite of it all, or perhaps because of it, you guys have a beautiful love story. So if sex offender laws did a disservice to society in Creed's case, where should the line be drawn? What kind of person should they target? It's a complicated issue for sure, but we've got one case on the starting line right now that will help answer that question. Hey, Susie, welcome to the secret room.
Hi, Ben. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. So full disclosure for everybody, you are a producer on the program.
Yes, I am.
As we've been working on this program, it inspired you to tell a secret of your own.
Yeah, it reminded me of something in the same category, but maybe a different approach to the story.
Something that happened in your own life?
Yes.
When did it happen?
So I was 13, and this was back when AOL chat rooms were really popular. And I had two best friends, and we were in middle school at the time. And I started talking to this guy in a chat room who told me he was 18. And I said I was 16 years old instead of 13.
All right. You venture into this chat room on AOL.
Yes, with my two friends at the time were kind of there for the start of this. And
what do you mean? They were chatting with you?
We were all hanging out. After the time that I met this guy, and I couldn't even use his name because it was probably fake. He said his name was Brett. And he lived about an hour away from me. You know, we started chatting on instant message privately. It kind of kept going over the next few days. And then he asked to call me. That was another time I was there with my two girlfriends. And, you know, we were like laughing and giggling. And, you know, so this guy calls my house. And this is before cell phones. So it was on the parents', you know, I was in my parents' bedroom and he calls and we're talking, and I don't know if he believed I was 16 or not. I don't know if I was pulling it off quite that well. So, you know, we had that first conversation and I kept calling this guy, right? You know, I didn't know at the time that this was like really getting bad, but he used to say really explicit things to me.
Like what?
Oh, like he would talk dirty to me, you know, lay out all these scenarios, and he'd tell me he loved me. And then he'd try to get me to say it, and I wasn't saying it in like a certain tone. He didn't think I meant it, which how could I was 13, you know? So this kind of went on for, I don't remember how long it was at this point. It was probably a couple weeks. Wasn't my idea, you know? He was trying to escalate this, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, when you're that young, you don't really know how to process that, or you don't know when to say stop. So it wasn't something that I was choosing to be a part of, but it also wasn't something I knew how to extricate myself from.
How long did this go on?
I think this was all within about a month, max. One day, my parents answered the phone when he called. You know, he had this deep voice, which is why I didn't think he was actually 18, you know, who's probably a grown man. And my mom's like, yeah, I just didn't expect that he'd have a deep voice. You know, I saw this was some kid in your class. So he was trying to meet me in person. And again, he lived about an hour, hour and a half away. And so I was, you know, trying to find a way to get out of the house. I was 13. It's not like I could drive. It's not like I could, you know, facilitate this. And then the phone bill came in. And my parents realized I had racked up these long distance calls. And thank God they found out because they put a stop to everything. Like, right away. They, like, grounded me and took me offline and realized this wasn't someone from my class. And, like, really, it kind of probably saved me from something that could have gotten bad.
Wow.
So then, you know, I was really upset and they were, like, monitoring my AOL usage. And, you know, I was just kind of blaming my parents. But in fact, it was really good they stepped in when they did.
If they hadn't stepped in, you would have gone to meet this guy?
Yeah, but yeah, again, I didn't realize how sinister it was, you know? It was just like, oh, I was young, it was, in, you know, it was kind of this new thing, and so yeah, I probably would have gone, which is scary to think about now, but I thank God I didn't.
Yeah, and so did you ever find anything out about this man?
I didn't, so I changed my screen name. But then he found one of my friends, and she gave him my screen name later.
What?
I know. I was really mad. She's, like, selling me out. And I said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you got the screen name wrong. I'm not sure who this is. I kind of just tried to play it off. But he was kind of pissed at me for not talking to him. I don't remember if I emailed him after my parents found out, or maybe my parents did. But he was mad at me later when he found my other screen name, and I think I blocked him or changed my screen name again, but he kind of came after me a little aggressively after that. But you know what? Now that I remember, he had me page him when I was ready to call. This is back when people had pagers, so...
What's that?
Are you serious?
No.
Okay, good.
Not serious. That's weird. He was probably using the time to get to a private phone or something.
Probably. Who knows?
If it hadn't been for your parents, then he might have met you, and who knows what might have happened.
Yeah, I don't even like to think about it.
So, Susie, how do you frame your story with Karen and Creed's?
Well, I think the two are really different. I didn't think about this because they're the same situation, because really the two stories are so different, but I guess this is the side of why the sex offender list needs to be looked at.
And how do you feel about Karen and Creed's case?
I think the punishment was beyond the crime. So, I mean, I feel for them. I think it's a hard life to live.
Well, listen, as Karen and I talked about last time, Creed was not a predator. His behavior did not pose any danger to children. But in the story that you're describing, that man's a predator.
Oh, absolutely.
And the law should be written to target that kind of person and to not overreach.
Yes. Not the person who pees in the back of a bar in an alleyway and gets put on the sex offender list.
What? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's like exposing yourself in public. You can get put on the list for all sorts of stupid reasons.
Oh my God, where was that?
Let me Google that for you. Yeah, there it is. Peeing in public. At least 13 states require sex offender registration for public urination, according to Human Rights Watch comprehensive review of the sex offender laws in 2007. Two of those states specify that urination must happen in front of a minor. Flashing your breasts can get you on the sex offender list.
Susie, is your story a secret?
It's not something I talk about.
Why not?
Oh, that would be a fun story at parties.
Yeah, I understand.
Hey, I almost got kidnapped as a kid because I was in a creeper chat room.
And why did you want to tell your secret today?
Just to give the counterpoint to this story, that there are some people out there who don't deserve to be on that list, and there's others that really do.
Thanks for taking a turn in the secret room, Susie.
It's nice to be here.
Next time on The Secret Room.
Hi, I'm Rachel. and my secret is about an attempted murder.
Hey, don't forget, we have a picture of Creed's first cell block online for you. You have to see this picture. It could not have been an easy place to stay. And Karen also shared another one of their pre-love letters from the years Creed was in prison, but they weren't yet a couple. Both pictures are waiting for you right now at facebook.com/secretroompod. And I cannot let the show close without extending a warm welcome to all the new subscribers who have joined us from Podbean this week. And I also want to thank Podbean for surfacing this little podcast to the top of their recommended list. Podbean is a podcast hosting service, and they have a cool podcast player too. It's kind of social. You can make comments on your favorite shows and see what shows other people are following. It's a great way to discover new favorites. I found a couple of new shows myself by looking at the playlists of people who are following The Secret Room. Oh yeah. And here's a comment a Podbean user left about the last episode. I don't believe this man should have spent time in prison, nor should he be on the sex offenders list. He most likely had no idea he and his girlfriend were doing something illegal, and there was no intent to produce or market porn. Where has the common sense in our justice system gone? Hey Susie, what should listeners do if they want to be on the show?
Send us all your secrets, or else.
Sounds like you've been talking to Creed. Story ideas can be sent to share@secretroompodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, where we give shouts to cool podcasts and talk about silly stuff. Our handle is @secretroompod. And of course, we always love a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app or a nice comment on Podbean. So show some love and see you there. Production assistance on this program from Susie Lark.
Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder.
Thanks, as always, for downloading and subscribing to your favorite little indie podcast that could. I'm Ben Hamm, and this is The Secret Room. Pod on.
Pod on. Don't you need to turn off your notifications there?
It's Twitter. Alexa, I want to buy the Secret Room podcast t-shirt.
Did you want me to order the Secret Room podcast t-shirt?
Yeah. That's right. The best podcast t-shirt ever. And it's available on Amazon Prime right now. Find it in 5 luscious colors in styles for men and women. Up your cool factor now by showing your affiliation with the coolest indie podcast on the planet. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Secret Room Podcast. Alexa, which color t-shirt do you like best?
Infrared is super pretty.
No, it's not really available in infrared. Yet. Maybe soon. The Secret Room Podcast is brought to you by Audible, purveyors of the largest audiobook collection anywhere. To get a free audiobook download and a complimentary 30-day membership courtesy of The Secret Room, head to audibletrial.com/secretroom.